Hello, my friends. Welcome back to the Northfield Podcast. I'm your host, Caleb Gordon. Thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to be a part of the program today. Listen, I want to say thanks to our friends at Outpost Coffee for providing us with incredible caffeinated beverages, great stocking stuffer, gift ideas for the holiday season. Check them out, outpostcoffeeco.com. Listen, I'm so excited today. We have on the program today, I'm going to sit down and have a conversation with Michael Hugh. He is the lead missionary at Church Inside Out. He's the executive director for Mobile Mission Networks. This guy has his hands in everything. I am so looking forward to this conversation and just pray that it encourages you and spurs you on for what's happening in the world today, and just it challenges you to be more mission-minded, more focused on sharing the gospel with your neighbors, with those you work with those you interact with on a regular basis. I pray that just it just stirs your affections towards Jesus. So love y'all. Looking forward to this. Can't wait. Welcome to the Northfield Nation, Mike Lehue. How in the world are you, my friend?
Man, doing great. Man, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Excited you're here with us. So I just wanted to, I've been following you online for quite a while and watching all the things that you're doing. And man, I'm just so encouraged by the mission and the gusto with which you're running after the mission of the gospel. And so as we kick this thing off, I'd like for you just to give us a 30,000 foot view of who Mike is and how Jesus got a hold of you.
Okay. Yeah, man. So, married, my wife, Sarah, we've been married 28 years. We've got six kids, ranging from 25 all the way down to 10.
Nice.
Grandbaby. May God capture my heart when I was 16. I grew up at a boys' home called Cal Farley's Boys Ranch in Amarillo, Texas. And man, he saved me. And it was not one of these moments where you question or you forget or anything like that. It was like very defining. The most defining moment in my life. And God saved me. We were on a mission trip of all things. Back in the day when choir tours were big, we were on a choir tour.
Yep.
Went to this drug rehab center, man, and felt the presence of the Lord was there. Was lost, you know. But man, without a shadow of a doubt, God's presence was there. And I remember sharing because I knew all the answers.
Sure.
I remember gospel with one of the kids, one of the students there at the drug rehab center, opened my nice shiny Bible and led them to the Lord. And then that night, man, we were going back to the ranch and God used scripture to convict me of my sin. The Romans road.
Yeah.
And so I prayed there, prayed on that bus seat. Man, God to change my life, and He did. And I remember the first thing He did, the first thing that Lord called me to do was I shared the gospel with a truck driver. I mean, that's how. Man, there's a question. That's how real it was. Is I knew that I belonged to the Lord, and I was an ambassador.
Come on.
So that's the rest is history, man. God has just changed my life.
That's what, man. I love that. So okay, give us a rundown. What is it you're doing? So according to the biography that I have in front of me, you're the lead missionary at Church Inside Out, and you're the executive director for Mobile Mission Network. So I want you just to talk about those two things and how they play into your life, into sharing the gospel, and what that looks like for you.
Okay. Yeah. So I've been ministry 30 years, primarily a youth pastor, families pastor for most of those years. And in about 10 years ago, wanted to get our kids and our students outside the walls of the church. And so we, if you're familiar with Mission Arlington, they were instrumental in us doing that. The Lord impressed my heart one day after we'd gotten back from a great trip to Mission Arlington. Hey, why are you going to Arlington, Texas when there's people right down the street that need Jesus?
Right.
So that started, hey, let's Sunday night. So let's get our students out and share the gospel. And so that, man, course of things, word of mouth. Hey, can y'all come and do this in our community? Sure. And so we, our students and our kids got an opportunity to major in youth ministry, children's ministry, church planning, which was our mobile home parks.
Yeah.
And so kind of expanded it from there and So 2015, we officially started Mobile Missions Network. And at that point in time, we really didn't even know what we were doing. We just thought, hey, we've got to go to people that aren't coming to our church.
Yeah.
And if there's nobody else that's going to do that, we're going to go do that. And we're going to use at that time kids and students to do that. And so that was 2015. And again, just blindly, not blindly following the Lord, but man, we just obey what he said to do.
Well, sure.
And God just, man, paved the way for that to happen. I kind of think of us as kind of John the Baptist type ministry, is we prepare the way of the Lord, is we're going to go into a place and we're going to take all the obstacles down for the gospel to be presented. And so then 2017, you know, kind of hit a lid at our church, was like, man, God is doing something here. And so that's when we stepped out of our church, where we had been there 14 years, loved it. And we started Church Inside Out. And again, that was one of those step of faith things. I like, there's no way I can do this.
Yeah.
So so we always say, if you start with missions, you're going to get a church.
Yeah.
And if you start with the church, you may or may not get missions. And so one thing we wanted to make sure is that the church was going to advance.
Sure.
And be planted. So it, I always say Mobile Missions Network and Church Inside Out is one coin with two different sides, evangelism and discipleship and missions.
Nice.
So, yeah.
So it's I'm friends with Jared Jackson as well. And I know he's a brother that works alongside you as well. Tell me about the house church setup, because this is, I am so intrigued with the house church thought process. I'm just in love with this, that we create an environment, not just in a building, but in our own homes, where we have tables where we can have brothers and sisters sit around and worship the Lord in our houses. This sounds sort of kind of like it's in a book I read once. So I'm just
yeah. So when we started our church, we started with a house church. Like, man, I'll be honest, I got burned out with just doing church. I got burned out with I call it the monster, you know.
Sure.
And you understand what I'm saying. And it's like, man, I'm going to die if I continue to go that route. And so we, you know, we started with really just the intention of it. Let's just gather. And at first, the name of our church was The Gathering, because we just wanted to gather. And
sure.
So we started in a home, and we grew really quickly, like in a matter of months, from 0 to 90.
Wow.
And so we our last church house we were in was we fit 90 people in.
Wow, that is wild.
Yeah. And so you do what you know to do. Well, I guess we need to go to a school and do the service and all that stuff. So we did that for about 2 years. Mm-hmm. And when COVID hit, that allowed us to reset a little bit. I'm like, man, again, I don't feel like I'm just a typical pastor. I'm a Paul. You know, I love to get things going and hand it off. But I'm like, this is not what God's called us to do. He's called us to empower ordinary people to be the church. And can we go back and talk to our elders and our leadership? And what do you guys think about going back to house church? And again, that was in the midst of COVID. And yeah. Thinking about, in a matter of 5 to 10 years, are we going to be able to even gather in a large group gathering?
Right. Yeah. I 100% agree.
100%. Yeah. So there's probably 5% of me that are like, man, we need to prepare for the future. But there was, man, I've got guys in my church that are just bored silly because they've gone to Bible study after Bible study, and now they need to teach that to somebody else.
Bro. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. 100%.
Yeah. So that was really the heart behind it, is because, man, I just know when I got saved, my pastor gave me the opportunity, like 6 months after I got saved, he gave me the opportunity to preach. Mm. And man, I didn't know nothing. And so, but that was such an instrumental point in my life that really has made me who I am today. And so I'm like, man, there's guys in our church that are longing for something more than just sitting in a service or a Bible study. Let's empower them to do that. And so.
Yes.
So we took our guys that were small group leaders and guys, and just, man, I've trust you've done this for 2 years. What would you guys think about being our house church pastors?
Nice.
And again, at that time, we're like, man, we don't even know what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like we had this plan other than scripture and Acts. So, man, we were naive to think, man, we could do this. And we did. And so here we are 3 years later, and, you know, it's seven houses. So it's been pretty cool.
I'm sorry. Did you say you said have seven house churches in?
Seven house churches.
Wow, that is so cool. So it's just, I mean, I love this. In fact, I just was having a conversation with a spiritual mentor of mine yesterday about what we're doing is just we have one guy that studies all week, which is, I'm not saying we shouldn't. I think we should study. I think his pastor should study and get ready. You know, 2 Timothy 2, right? Yeah. Right. Study to show yourself approved. So I think that you should. But what we're doing is we're putting everything on to one guy and then saying, okay, come and consume. And I love this model and this mindset of, okay, I want to empower the people in the pew to actually go make disciples and do what God's called them to do, not just what God's called the pastor to do.
Right. Yep.
It's so big.
Yeah. And that was because, again, going into pastoring, again, I'd always been the number two guy. I was the youth pastor, you know, and so I felt very comfortable in that role. But I said, Lord, I can't be that guy. Like, I mean, it's overwhelming. And that's when he brought me to Ephesians 4:11-12, you're to equip the saints for the work of the ministry.
Yes.
But that was the permission the Lord gave me. God, Mike, you don't have to be like everybody else. You don't have to do what everybody else is doing. This is what I've asked you to do, is empower and equip. And so where your weakness is, there's guys in your church that have that strength. Mm-hmm. And so empower them. And then where your strength is and their weakness is, it's just, that's the way the body works.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm an evangelist missionary, first of all. And so my weakness is the shepherding teaching.
Yeah.
But there's guys in my church who have that gift, and we've disabled them from that whole idea of the priesthood of the believer. We say that we believe that, but we don't operate like we believe that in our church.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, and so that was like, Lord, just Mike, you don't have to be all of those things. This is who I've created you to be. And you're going to have guys who can do those things. So empower them. So that was, man, that was very,
That's fantastic. I love it. I mean, just that whole idea of stepping in it and doing what God's called to do. So I'm taking our folks through 1 and 2 Timothy right now, and we're in 2 Timothy, and this idea in the text that talks about making sure to hand these off to brothers who can do what's necessary and to equip and wield the word like they should is so refreshing to hear, because we have created a monster, and it is this monstrosity. And I don't want to knock the church, because I love the church. I'm a church guy. I love the church. I believe the church is the institution that God put together. So I'm not knocking it. I just think we're sometimes doing it a little, entertainment based. And I want to get in there where we're getting dirty, getting our hands dirty, sharing the gospel, seeing people come to faith in Christ and do something bigger than just show up on a Sunday morning. And I just think that that's what you're doing. And that's the reason I wanted you on the show, just to talk about all of that.
Yeah.
So, okay, let's jump over. How can people find out more about you? We're going to talk about that. We'll talk about some other stuff, but how can people get in touch with you? How can they find more about you?
Yeah. I mean, the best thing, I mean, I do a lot of stuff on Facebook. That's where I do a lot of my writing, a lot of my thinking. So that's a Facebook, email, mike@mobilemissionsnetwork.com. And I can shoot them my number, but would love to have a conversation. And, you know, because there's just people that have invested in me. So a lot of these things aren't new to anything I've uncovered, but, the beauty of the body of Christ is, the giftings and the sharing. And so I've just had a lot of mentors that have poured into me, where we are today. Yeah.
That's awesome. So what do you think that if you could sit in a room with a group of pastors and they, you're poised to speak on what the church needs, what would you say?
I would say, if we as the church and our buildings don't become mission centers, we're going to die. And what I mean by that is that we have to be for the city that God has called us to. Goes back to Jeremiah 29:7, you know, the whole chapter 29, Jeremiah 29. And in that is the, you know, you guys know, this is, we live in a post-Christian context. Mm-hmm. And it used to be that the church was the center of the community, just no longer that.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And I mean, everybody has everything at their disposal, podcasts, preachers, and I mean, I, me personally, I can't compete with that. Now, God can.
Right.
You know, but if I want to see people come to know Christ, I have to be for the city, and that we have to be a place where people are known and they're cared for and they'll hear the gospel. And so I always say the discipleship process actually happens well before they ever enter these doors. Mm-hmm. Is a lot of the discipleship happens around the dinner table.
Come on. Yes.
I always may sound bad, but I tell people the first place you shouldn't invite people to is church.
I agree.
You know, the first place is around your dinner table, is because, man, there's just something about having a cup in your hand, you're talking, and all of our house churches have that element, is we eat together every week. And there's just something about having a natural conversation out of the realm of a sermon that just makes it real and life-giving.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I talk a lot to smaller churches, and they're just hoping, man, if I've got great band, if I got great music and I got a great sermon, man, that's going to knock it out of the park. And I'm like, man, if we were in church centric society, yes, that would have worked. But what is it? The Bible says they'll know us if we're his disciples and Christians by our love for one another. And so if we don't like exemplify that, then it's going to be hard for people to want what we got to give them what we have. And
sure.
So,
sure.
And it's not watering the gospel down or anything like that, but our churches need to be open 24/7 for our community.
Yeah. Oh, I think it's just one of those things where we've gotten to the point where things that work, like I grew up in Christian 90s stuff. You know, I was a kid in the 90s. And so it was still very, church was still sort of the center point of things that happened all through the 90s. And there was this shift, and maybe social media had something to do with it. I don't know, but I'm not that guy that wants to say, oh, social media is the devil. I'm not that guy, but yeah. I think it's a great tool. But I think we have left the idea of the church being the center of the community. I mean, like we were just having this conversation, last night with a couple of people in my church, we're just struggling with the idea that so many Christian parents still have their kids shoved in on sports on Wednesday nights and church, you know, that were historically church nights. So it was like, we've got to figure out a way to reach into that context and give them hope, give them something that is more than just, a sermon on a Sunday. And so we've got to do something we got to do life with these people. So
yeah,
I think that's a huge thing that needs to take place. What's been one of the most difficult things for you in this transition and doing the mobile mission, doing the house churches? What's been one of the most difficult things and how have you overcome that?
Oh, goodness. I would say that God has given us a greater vision than our resources can handle.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, just be honest.
That's true. I feel it.
You know, which is a great place to be. You know, when we started this ministry, you know, the idea of fundraising or anything like that, that's just not me. And so the Lord had me read George Mueller's biography, and he said, Mike, this is the way you're going to operate. Is you need to trust me. You know, and so. So I can honestly say we've done that the best we know, and God's, you know, and one thing we pray is God give us our daily bread, not, you know, we can't live on yesterday's manna, but today. And so, but in that it's caused us to wrestle with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And, on our board, our staff meeting board, is, we talked about this yesterday, is God, thank you for the struggle. thank you that we have to pray for things. You know, thank you that we have to wrestle with things, because if not, man, I just know how prideful I can get.
Amen.
You know,
me too.
So I'm thankful for that struggle that we have. So it's kind of a blessing, but it's also like, man, what's going to happen tomorrow? But again, it just goes back to, if we had every resource under the sun at our disposal, we would not be good stewards of that. And so the wrestling is really good for us.
Amen. Yeah. I that's one of those things that I have often thought about is, you know, if God gave us everything we thought we wanted, it'd blow up on our face.
Yeah.
And if we didn't, and it would end, we'd end up messing it up somehow. And so this is the idea of, you know, that I love that give us this day our daily bread. Like, God, today is the day. I don't know what the next step is, but I know you do. Help me to take that next step and be obedient to where I need to be and do what I need to do. Yeah. And it's refreshing to hear, because there's, you know, everybody wants to try to build, because we see the cool big mega churches and we see the big celebrity preachers, and sometimes that can be a trap. And yeah. I don't always think that, you know, mega churches are bad, but sometimes they can be, right? And so they have these weird things that can take place. And so to see that you're like looking for ways to keep it small, and yeah. that you're dividing it up, saying, okay, I'm gonna have this guy teach here. You're not trying to build your own platform where you're saying, hey, come look at me. It's, hey, come look at Jesus. Come look at what Christ has done in our group and how he's molding and shaping, not just me, but everybody, how he's transforming our hearts, our minds, and our lives, and stirring our affections towards him. So it does my heart good as a pastor. In fact, after we get done with this podcast, I'm going to call you and I want to work out a time for us to set something up for you to come to our church to help us just see that vision, because I think what you're doing is fantastic. So you got huge plans for the holiday. We got a couple minutes here left. Huge plans for the holidays,
man. We kind of take a step back a little bit. We are so going from January through November. Yep. You know, just going and going. We intentionally take a step back. You know, as a pastor for 30 years, you know, I feel like I was always celebrating Christmas for other people.
Right.
You know, and so I never felt like I got to celebrate Christmas with my family, you know? When we started the church, we're like, man, mid-December, we're shutting down. Like, and we want to really reflect on what Christ has done for us, not just run through December and, oh, I can't remember what we did.
Right.
So we kind of chill and as things are going to ramp up mid January, and just really give our families a chance to just breathe, yep. reflect. Yeah,
man, I am so glad. This is the providence of God, man. I am refreshed just having this conversation. And Jared's always said, dude, once you talk to him, you're just going to have your mind blown. And I was like, I know, I need to get on this. I need to get him on the podcast. I need to have him come do this show. And we've been trying to get this together for good grief year or more. And man, it is, I'm not kidding. The 30 minutes that we've had this conversation, I'm just excited to hear what you're doing. And so what I'm going to put in the show notes, how to get a hold of your church. If somebody wants to support you, if they want to give, they can do that can they do it through your website?
Okay, yeah.
Cool. And I'll get below and have all that information below. But man, I'm so grateful for your heart for the Lord and for the mission that you have. Just appreciate it. If you got any closing thoughts in the last couple minutes.
Man, just thanks for having me, and man, appreciate you guys that are in the trenches. And that's the encouraging thing for me, is that what God has allowed us to do is be kingdom minded, not just church minded. And Amen. So we are for the church, not just Church Inside Out, not just Mobile Missions Network, but we've been afforded the opportunity, man. How do we lock and link arms with other churches? Because there's things that you can show me, and vice versa. And that's the beauty of the body of Christ. And so again, just another opportunity for us to network. And so thanks. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. Hey, would you dismiss us in prayer?
Yeah. Lord, Lord, thank you for today. God, thanks for Caleb. Lord, thank you for the work you're doing through him and his church and through this podcast. And maybe there's somebody that's watching this that maybe just the weary. God, I pray 1 Corinthians 15:58, that they would stand firm, let nothing move them, always give themselves fully to the work of the Lord, knowing that what they do is not in vain. Yes. And I pray that today, God, we don't know what each of us endure on a daily basis. And so I just pray, God, there may be people that feel stuck, Lord, that they would know that you have given them an identity, that you've given them a purpose found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And so we're grateful, Lord. And so I pray, God, that those that are watching this would be encouraged, God, challenged, and Lord, maybe take their next step of obedience. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother, for being on the show today.
Yeah. Thanks, man. Appreciate you.